Madman Ramble.
Madman Mario. Check us out on madmanrambling.com. Welcome into Madman Rambling, the podcast. Hey, check it out. We're just going to jump right into it as always. And so I just finished watching a video on Facebook, and it's going viral, so you can probably view it on multiple different platforms. There's a young lady. She appears to be between 18 and 25. She appears about 5 foot to 5'4". She's Asian, wearing a short, look like a club dress, club skirt, with some sort of blouse. She's barefooted and found sleep on someone's couch in their home. It appears to be the morning, early morning, and this young man, or this man and his wife has found this young lady in their home, and they're alerted. They're afraid. They're trying to figure out, how did she get here? What is she doing here? When you get the hell out, it's the main thing they're saying. We're gonna call the police. Do you want to go to jail? Okay? There aren't a whole lot of clues of where they are, except other than the English speaking, and we're gonna call the police and you're gonna go to jail. Because that's the freedom everybody operates with in America. You're gonna go to jail. You know? This young lady, you know, is out of her wits. She's there, and she's repeating to them over and over as they tell her, hey, get your shoes on, get out, how did you get here? You know, trying to keep her out of jail. She's repeating to them, you know, this is my home, I copped it. And the gentleman talking to her has no idea what, I guess, the slang term copped means. I copped this. I'm about to cop it. Cop that crap. Cop that shit. I copped it. It means take. Make your own. I'm not reading from Urban Dictionary. I know this shit. But he has no idea what it means, and that's no knock on him. But she's saying this over and over, clearly out of her mind, either on some drugs or I've never seen alcohol do that, but I can't outrule it. You know, I don't know what's influencing her. She could be some kind of psychosis. But I'm making this podcast about this issue because what's shocking to me, it's obviously there's a moment of enjoyment, of comedy, to laugh at this situation. But when you read the comments, which are always my favorite, if the video's good, the comments are going to be great. Because there's nothing like a look into the minds of individuals. And that's what the comments give you. You know, they're behind their computer. Nobody can hold them accountable for the most part. You know, and they can say whatever they want to say. And the comments are bashing the man in the video who was relatively patient. Bashing the woman in this video who was relatively patient but trying to figure out what the heck was going on. Now, they were threatening to call the police. And they were telling her to get out. But they were relatively patient. I'm shocked that everyone was bashing her about it, bashing them about this. What happened to helping individuals? I think that for sure they should have been even more understanding, even more patient. What happened to this young lady? How do we know she wasn't drugged and raped and stumbled into my home? Yes, I have to protect my home. Yes, I have to look out for my own. Yes, I have to check first to make sure there's no threat here. But there really didn't appear to be a threat there. And that points at the fact that we are so afraid nowadays that we can't even help each other. I mean, everyone's terrified. Everyone's terrified. And yeah, I get it. There's reason for that if you look around society. But I mean, you can't be a complete coward all the time because one person got stabbed or one person got raped. I mean, the girl was 5'4" at best. She was out of her mind, you know, and they had to shake her to wake her up, and she still didn't wake up. She's talking crazy in her sleep. What happened to her? You know what, honey? Let's keep our eye on her. You know, let's try to figure out who she is. Let's not ruin this young lady's life with because of what probably is the morning after the worst night of her life last night. Because we don't know what happened. But everybody listening can begin to surmise and form an idea of what could have led to you being completely intoxicated or out of your mind on someone's couch telling them that you copped it. But we're too afraid. And it's not that way with just this situation, it's that way with everything. I mean, you know, many people probably missed this, but if you go back and watch the video, the wife in the video is, she goes, dude, she keeps asking the girl, do you know anybody here? And the girl's like, I copped this home. This is my house. I copped it. It belongs to me. And she's like, do you know anybody? She's trying to figure out if the young lady's there because of her husband. The husband never realizes that he's still asking questions. He's holding the cell phone. I believe he's the one holding the cell phone. He's asking questions about, you know, how'd you get here? What are you doing here? And the wife's over there investigating. What are you doing here? You know, or do you know anybody here? You've been here before? I mean, she's afraid to help because she feels the young lady's a threat. This young lady looking like she just crawled out of a dumpster. She's afraid she's a threat to her relationship. Her husband gonna leave her for some girl with dirt caked on the bottom of her foot, drugged or psyched out of her mind, sleeping on someone's couch she doesn't know. She's afraid that woman's a threat to her relationship. She's afraid. It's how we operate. We're afraid. It's crazy. And we do it with everything. It's how we govern, how we police. We're afraid. I I'm going to talk about it. You know, every time you look at social media, every time you look at the news, you know, unless you're intentionally avoiding, I guess, a sector of the media, the sector of the population, then you can't help but see how many people are being shot in situations where anyway, it's really not necessary. It's not necessary. And you'll say, oh, well, if you do everything the officer tells you to do, you won't get shot. Because disobeying an officer warrants being shot in the fucking face. There's a lot of assholes out there right now who wouldn't say it in person, but they're saying in their minds and probably commenting, yep, and that's what you get. Because you're fucking cowards. They've never had any fucking real power before. They never had any leadership ability before. They've never been in a position where they were so confident in themselves and so confident in where they were that when they looked down on people less than them or people less fortunate than them, they felt the urge to do nothing other than help. Because to hurt or to push around is too easy. You never been there. You never experienced that. You're the kid getting swirlies. So of course when you get in power, you want to give other people swirlies. But the fact of the matter is, disobeying an officer doesn't warrant getting shot in the fucking face. You know, we're afraid. The officer's afraid. If he was a competent officer, if he was competent in his training, competent in his abilities, then you don't have to worry about, you know, shooting someone the moment they run toward you. You know, if we hire competent law enforcement officers, we don't have that problem. But everybody gets a turn. Everybody gets a chance. So we have to put a 5-foot-nothing female policing an area where there's some bad dudes out there. And we don't know exactly who they are. Because the bad dude looks just like the college dude in certain areas. And so fuck it. Shoot him. Because we're afraid and we got to go home. I understand. I'm not saying you're vindictive. I'm saying you're incompetent. And you're incompetent by way of being afraid. You know, you're not a bad guy. You know, there's two or three videos out there where there's shootings. And you can see that the officer is just horrified. You know, you're just horrified, just tore up by what's happening in the situation. And, you know, if they could do anything to take it back, they would. It's not vindictive most of the time. I mean, sometimes there is. I mean, you know, you got an old man running into the woods and you shoot him in the back, you know. You know, he tried to grab my taser. You know, maybe kind of vindictive there. But in most cases, it's pretty much incompetence by way of afraid. You know, if I'm afraid, I'm going to grab and fucking shoot. You know, I'm trying to tase you, but oops, I grabbed my gun. Because this situation is so fucking horrifying to me that I thought I was tasing you, and I just blow a fucking hole in your chest or your back. So many different videos. You know, it's fear. It's we're so afraid we can't help anybody. We're so afraid we can't stop and say, hey, you need a ride. or so. I mean, even for a young woman, this was a young woman in this video. You know, imagine had it been a dude, what would have happened? Imagine had it been a black dude, they would have shot his ass in his sleep. Call the police. You know, morning news would have been out there. It'd have been given a hero speech. You know, it's unbelievable how disgusting we've gotten with being so afraid. I mean, we're afraid altogether. I mean, even in the schools, it seems some of the teachers, and I'm not bagging on teachers because, man, you talk about the most underpaid occupation in this country. God, that's a whole other topic. But still, it's almost like they're afraid to deal with the student who's a little rough around the edges. It's sad. You know, you look, and I wrote something about this over on madmanrambling.com. You know, I think, and I'm going to get a little specific here, I think that, you know, society is often trying to, you know, they're unaware of it, or maybe, I'm not a conspiracy person, but, I don't think it's intentional, but I think society is trying to remove from it the masculinity associated with a lot of men. You know, they want to get rid of the man. The man. You know, I mean, I get we got all different kinds of men, you know, but you know, I wrote something in his piece called The Boy, The Beast, The Man, because I believe in every little boy, even from a young age, there's a boy and a beast inside of each one of them. And it's just a kind of a parable to explain the kind of, personality that makes up a male. You know, inside of each man, you know, as a young age, you got that boy. He wants to play games. He wants to have fun. You know, you introduce him to the opportunity for thrill. You know, and it's going to show itself. Even as a young, even as a young man, even as an older man. You know, sports. Doing things that most people would consider dangerous or you know, life-threatening. These thrill-seeking things still exist in the male all the way throughout. And of course, they exist in some women as well. But I'm talking about a typical male personality. A typical male personality. And let's look at the beast. Okay, you know, as a young man, if you watch young boys, they're about breaking and destroying stuff. You know, that's a typical young man's behavior. You know, you knock over the blocks, bang on this, bang, 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 just pointless banging on it, you know. You know, he wants to tear this apart, take the head off the doll. You know, this is the mentality of a young male. He wants to make a mark on the world. And it stays with him throughout adulthood. He gets older, thrill-seeking still there. Thirst for destruction is still there. Threatening his own. Threaten his home. Give him a chance to battle, to create war. The beast will show itself. But often we try to remove either the boy or the beast. Oh, he's too playful. He wants to play games, you know. My husband plays video games. Or my husband watches sports all the time. You want to remove the boy or he gets angry or what's with these guys who like war all the time? What's with the blood sports, the boxing, and this football is violent? Like, you want to remove the boy and the beast all the time? Because you're afraid that one or the other side of that personality is going to express itself negatively? You can't do that, because what you're doing in a whole is removing the man. You know, and it's all done out of fear. You know, look at history. How often have we wanted to remove a certain characteristics from, you know, different individuals? But you turn the corner and there's a situation that only that beast can handle. And everybody else sits back and says, you know what, I'm glad he's got an appetite for that kind of thing, because, man, I don't know what we'd do without it. Well, hell, you just wanted to get, you know, when I was growing up, you know, the big thing was the television, the video games, the movies, You know, they're all too violent. There's blood. There's blood and all this stuff. What's this gonna do to the kids? It's gonna make them crazy. What is this gonna do to the kids? You know. And growing up, I was a big video game person. I played a lot of video games. I wanted to watch the TV shows with blood in it. You know. I didn't watch a lot of movies with blood in it. But you know, if the game had where you could turn the gore on or off or up, it was on max. And you know, I kind of ignored. You know, and was happy that there wasn't a lot taken from me in regard to that. But then you turn around, 9/11 happens, my whole generation goes off to 10 years of war, post-traumatic stress syndrome is down some phenomenal amount from where it was in the past when individuals saw war to that extent. And you wonder, how could that be? How could that be? The thing that we thought we, you know, was most, you know, damaging to their psychology ended up being training for their psychology. There we go on that again. Stop thinking we know how to change and coerce things, because we don't know what's coming. Just stop being afraid. And we can't be afraid to help. We can't. We just can't. Seriously, I'm passionate about it. I'm asking you guys to be passionate about it, because again, over on madmanrambling.com, there's a piece here I wrote. I talk about, you know, the improbability of the dominance of the human species on the planet. And I start by, and I'll just share it with you guys. When you look at the survival tactic of nature throughout different species, there's two primary ways of operating. You'll see an offspring produced in abundance. I mean, a litter, you know, you look at the bugs, you know, there's hundreds of them. You look at how some organisms produce, you know, offsprings. Their plan in those situations is to produce as many as possible and play the numbers game. You know, some of these cats are going to survive. Some of these cats are going to, you know, make it and pass on the DNA. And then you look at the other half, where, you know, you take like a horse or some larger mammals, where the animal is born, like falls out of its mom onto the ground, and within a few minutes of its life, it's pretty much reached about 80 to 90% of its capability. I mean, it's got to learn some things, but its physical capability to run, eat, grab, do all these different things, you know, it's reached those capabilities within minutes of being alive. And so they're playing the competent game. You know, I'm going to produce a competent offspring. And the chances, you know, it's not many of them. It's only one at a time or two at a time, but mostly one at a time in these cases. You know, but we're probably going to survive because this offspring is very competent. It's going to be able to pass on the DNA. But then when you look at humans, something totally different happens. You have an offspring typically born alone, completely incompetent for life for about 2, 3, 4 years most of the time. Completely incompetent for life. And through, you know, learn and through adaptation, through nurturing and through the care from its parents, through its ability to sit back and watch and decipher, it becomes the most dominant species on the planet. I mean, all of the odds were pointed against that particular species at birth. All right, you don't have a whole bunch, so we don't know if one of you are gonna make it. You're not very competent for about 3 or 4 years, so let's see how it all goes. 20 years later, many of the other species we talked about, the first two categories, are dead. And the human is directing the whole show. And that came because we were able to care, to learn, and to adapt. I ask people sometimes, hey, if I dropped you right now in Japan, you know, non-Japanese speaking individual, if I dropped you right now in Japan And if I came back 1 year, 2 years, I came back after 1 year, came back after a second year, came back after, like, what year would you have completely learned Japanese? You know, like, you know, learn it, read it, write it, you know, speak it. Would it be year one, two, three, four, five? Like, when? Okay, on average, people are like, okay, about two or three years, okay? So about 2 or 3 years. Okay, great. Okay, a baby introduced to a world around individuals, speaking a language it does not understand, unable to really differentiate between the language, the sounds of the TV, the walls, or any other sound that it's hearing, unable to tell the difference between any of those, it derives what's the language and how to speak it and how to understand it. And it does this over a period of 2 years. And then shortly thereafter, it's writing the language and then reading the language. And this is done from an infant. And yeah, you're gonna have your people or, psychologists and talk about, child development and stuff like that. And you know, their brains are more capable and this kind of thing. Yeah, that doesn't take away from the fact that it's pretty amazing. You know, use your brain to tell whether a situation is actually dangerous or not versus just taking the safe road. You know, before I close it, I'll talk a little bit more about why it's important. Why it's important to have that beast in society. Why it's important to have that person that's unafraid to take risk. You know, there's this piece on the Discovery Channel where they talk about, you know, what happens, you know, when we find another planet and we send these probes out there, and it's all science fiction, and they're sending these probes, you know, these two probes out to explore this planet. Whew, there they go, off to the light speed, you know, racing across the galaxies, across the universe, to another distant star to explore this planet. And they design these two probes with all of this high-tech capability. One of the probes, both of the probes have the ability to project images, to take samples, to test things. I mean, just some technology that some of it really doesn't exist right now, but many of it, much of it does. And it's just used in a way that's applicable to exploring the planet with two kind of floating type probes. And they made the two probes with two totally different kind of personalities, if you will. One of them is very safe. You know, it plays the safe game. It'll stay at a distance. If it sees something it doesn't know what it is, it'll kind of hang back there, kind of check it out. And you know, that's, again, playing the mode of let's play it safe. Let's see what happens. Let's survive. Because that's necessary. And there are certainly individuals like that. But the other probe, the one they're sending, the one that's also necessary to exploration, to grow, to develop, to learn, to progress, is the one that's not so safe. This one will poke and pry and test every single thing that it comes across. And because of that, because of the inherent risk in that, it's going to provide information to the other one. Now, the one that is the one that is a risk taker, they're sending a new one every 6 months, because the life expectancy of that guy is going to be shorter. But they're sending a new one for the safer probe every 2 years, because between the data that it catches itself and the data that it's learning from the thrill-seeking probe, you're not going to need as many. You know, what happened to the bravery? Let's see if we can get back to that. Madman Ramblin', Madman Mario, out.